We appreciate Miss Edna focusing our attention on him, and that's what we've gathered together to do today. We've gathered in Jesus' name. We are his people, and we're going to look into his word. A few weeks ago, right after Easter, we started a series, T-minus 40, and we've been looking at those 40 days that Jesus spent with his disciples between his resurrection and his ascension. And so there was a countdown that was started right after his resurrection, and 40 days later, he was going to be taken up before their very eyes. And we, as we're looking through Scripture at those accounts, we are 2 weeks away from looking at that passage of Scripture where Jesus was lifted up before the eyes of those disciples and the clouds hid him in the air. And that was when Jesus took off. And so we are going to be looking at that in 2 weeks from today. But today is a unique day because we honor our graduates, and the words that Jesus shared with his disciples during those 40 days between the resurrection and ascension, they apply so well to our graduates today. Because what Jesus did as he was talking to his disciples was he was telling them what their life mission was going to be, and he was telling them what they were going to do in his name. And so as we look at these things that Jesus said in Matthew 22 and Matthew 28, that's going to be something that our grads can hold on to because they are at a transitionary period and they're thinking about the rest of their lives. And if these things are present in their life, they'll live lives that honor God. And so if you have your Bible, open it up to Matthew chapter 22. We are going to start there. And then we're also going to read from Matthew chapter 28, but we'll begin in Matthew chapter 22. So, if you found your place there in Matthew chapter 22, we're going to be reading at verse 37. We mentioned these verses last week when we were talking about Peter being asked by Jesus three times if he loved him. And he restored Peter, and that was one of the things he did between during those 40 days. And so let's look at this passage. And if you found your place, please stand in the honor of the reading of God's word. Jesus is asked in this passage about what the greatest commandment is. These teachers of the law were trying to catch him in a trap, but Jesus would not be caught in a trap. And we find his answer to that question of which is the greatest commandment starting in verse 37 of Matthew 22, where Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second one," Jesus says, "is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands." And then if you'll flip just a few pages over to Matthew chapter 28, we're going to read some verses starting at verse 16. And this is when Jesus is talking to his disciples after he was risen from the grave. He says these things in verse 16, then the 11, this is Matthew 28:16. "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age.'" Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture and how it applies to the lives of our graduates, but Father, it also applies to our lives and to the life of our church. And so, Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts as we look at these two passages of Scripture, and Father, would you help us to apply them to our life, and I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I went to First Baptist Tallahassee yesterday, and we had a homeschool graduation and saw my children walk across the stage. Carol and I were on the other side, and we handed them their diplomas and hugged them and took pictures. And I just could not imagine. With our five children, we have three of them that have graduated, and I'm wondering where the time went. And so we had a great time with that. I know Osceola's graduation was this weekend as well, and there's a graduation party this afternoon at the Willises, and it's just kind of the graduation time of year. And I remember when I graduated from high school, I was not a believer. I didn't receive Christ until I was 19 years old. And so the world was very confusing to me when I graduated high school. And I didn't know what I was going to be, and I didn't know where I was going to go, and all of those kind of things. And I was saved when I was 19, and I found out something pretty amazing pretty soon after being saved and receiving Christ, is that God had a plan for my life. And I was so glad that He had a plan for my life, because I didn't know what my plan for my life was. And so that was filling in some spaces that I needed to have desperately filled in. And these two passages of Scripture that we looked at tell us what Jesus' plan for His disciples are, that we are to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and we are to fulfill the Great Commission. And so these things that we're talking about this morning apply very well to grads that are wondering what the rest of their life is going to look like, and what professions they're going to do, and who they're going to marry, and all of the big decisions that they have right in front of them. But it also speaks to us who are older, because it helps remind us what Jesus wants us to be about and what He wants us to do. And then on a bigger scale, it also talks to us as a church, because these purposes, these missions that Jesus has given us as individuals also apply to the mission that He's given a New Testament church, which we are one of. And so as we look at this, this has an application for our grads, for everyone sitting in this room, as well as for our church, and we're going to look at that. But I wanted to make a statement. We're looking at the Great Commandment, and we're also looking at the Great Commission, and the very first thing on your message notes is this statement: a great commitment to the Great Commandment, which is what we read in Matthew 22, and the Great Commission, which is what we read in Matthew 28, will lead to a great life. Now, we don't have a slide for this. I hope that doesn't throw you off too much, but it leads to a great life. And as we're pursuing that great life that Jesus has for us, it also leads to a great church, a church that is about the mission that Jesus gave each one of us individually and corporately as a church. And so back in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus answered that question about what the greatest commandment was when He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And remember, last week we saw Peter being asked that question, "Peter, do you love me?" And three times Peter was able to say, "Yes, I love you." And I mentioned last week that what we love is the thing that we worship. And so we can look into our lives and we can tell the things that we worship, because that's what we spend the most time on. That's what we spend the most resources on. And so Jesus is saying the greatest commandment is that we get our worship right. And that's number one, worship. And so for our grads this morning, they need to consider, as they enter this new phase of their life, that they need to get that question of worship right. And as they graduate high school and even graduate from a doctorate program at FSU, we have to get that question of worship right. Are we worshiping the right thing? And do we have the worship of God in our lives? There's a startling statistic that 75 to 85% of high school graduates leave the church after they graduate from high school. They enjoyed all the youth group and they enjoyed going to camp and all the other things, but when they leave and they go off to college, they also leave the church. And that's a startling statistic. I mean, that's over 3 out of 4 students leave the faith and spend time apart from the church and apart from Christ and them, and Christ being a focus of their life. And so what I want to say to the grads is, don't let yourself be one of those statistics. Stay in the church. Stay focused on worshiping the right thing. Just think about all the decisions that students are making during those years between 18 and 24. They're deciding the vocation they're going to have. They're deciding who they're going to spend the rest of their life with, who they're going to marry. And that's a hugely important time for them to not go away from the church and go away from their faith, but that's a great time for them to lean into what Jesus has for them, and to lean into and let the church be a part of their life and not leave that time. And so what happens with many people in our culture is they leave the faith, and church is not important to them, and Christ is not important to them during those years, and then they get married, and they start having children, and they want their children to grow up in church, so they come back to the church after being away from the church for many years. And again, there's so many big decisions that were made. Listen, church is going to be important for your kids at some point in the future, and you certainly need to be in church, but don't leave the church between now and then. But listen, that same message about getting our worship right and making sure there's a place for worship in our lives also applies to us as adults. Sometimes we get busy and we fill up Sunday morning with so many other things, hobbies and just relaxing after a busy week, and we get out of the habit of going to church. And of course, I'm talking to the people this morning that are in church on a Sunday morning, and that's great that you're here, but over the course of your life, you need to make sure that worshiping God has a prominent place in your life. Because Jesus said all of the laws of the prophets in the Old Testament boil down to this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And we do that corporately through worship. And so worship is very important as we fulfill the great commitment and the great commandment. And so the second thing there on your message notes is we're also called, one of the things that Jesus has called us to be on mission for him is to share the good news about Jesus with others. You're simply to share. We can do that in many different ways. We can share our testimony. We can share the gospel using scripture. We can invite people to church that where the word of God is honored and where Jesus is lifted up. And we are to share the gospel. And this is in Matthew 28, when Jesus, after he told them, when he saw them, he came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. That is our share purpose. That part of what Jesus has given us to do is to share the good news about Jesus with others. And so that's important for our grads to know that part of their life needs to be shining that light on the gospel, on what Jesus did for them, that there needs to be a portion of their life that's dedicated to setting a good example and sharing the good news about Jesus with others, to go and make disciples. And it's actually better to say, as you go, make disciples, as you go, teach them, as you go, baptize them. And so whatever field our grads go into and whatever school they go to, they need to understand that worship needs to be a portion of their life, and also sharing the good news about Jesus needs to be a part of their life as well, that they have the ability, that God's put them in places that only they can reach, where they can share the good news about Jesus Christ. And I put Acts 1:8 there on your message notes, and that's the direction that we're going to be in 2 weeks, Acts 1:8. And so this is just kind of giving you an idea of where we're going in 2 weeks. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Those are Jesus' marching orders for us. And that applies to a life of a graduate, but it also applies to the life of every disciple of Jesus. That we're going to have the Holy Spirit alive and at work on the inside of us, and we are to be his witnesses. We are to share the good news about Jesus Christ. And in 2 weeks from today, I'm going to challenge our church to have a deliberate plan, a strategic plan to do exactly what Jesus commanded us to do. See, Jesus is talking to these disciples that followed him, that saw him abused and tortured and saw him die on the cross. These are the disciples that were surprised that Jesus was alive, and Jesus is meeting with them now, and he's giving them direction. He's saying, these are the things that you're going to be about, because I'm not going to be here much longer, and these are the things that you're supposed to be about. And that has a clear application for our grads today and every person, but it also has an application for our church. We need to be about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus commissioned us to go and to make disciples. And the way that you make disciples is you tell them the story about Jesus and you give them the opportunity to respond. I had a conversation. This was a unique situation. On our Facebook page, on our church's Facebook page, we got a message from someone that lives in Monticello that was kind of distressed and was needing to talk with someone. And so I started this conversation with this person on Facebook. And it turned out this gentleman was a long-haul truck driver. And he was out of town, and it got a little frustrating to keep going back and forth in little messages. Now, if I was a teenager, I could have had the whole conversation via little instant messages and text messages, but I'm just not patient enough for that. I want to talk to somebody on the phone, okay? So the older people are like, that's right, I like to talk to people on the phone. And the younger people are going, that's right, we don't need to talk to anybody on the phone. We can just send text messages, add an emoji on there, and they've communicated everything that they need to communicate. So we're going back and forth on this message, back and forth, and I shared my phone number with him because I wanted to talk, and he called me up, and he was trusting Jesus for some things in his life, but there had never been a time that he trusted Jesus as his Savior. And so I had the opportunity to talk with him about placing his faith in Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And so over the phone, I was able to lead this friend to Christ. And he has said he comes back in town the beginning of June, and I hope to be able to introduce him to y'all at some point in the future, and he may even follow through with baptism. And so it was an opportunity that I had to shine the light of Jesus on the gospel and say, this is the solution. Out of all the things he was in a distressed situation of, he needed to get salvation right. Because when a person gets salvation right, they are well on the way to getting their life right. And we have the opportunity as ambassadors of Christ to share the good news with people as we have the opportunity to do. And see, that's a huge lesson for our grads. They need to live a life in such a way that shines the light on the gospel, and they need to share their faith with others when they go to school, when they go in their new classes, and when they go in their new workplaces. They need to share the gospel. But that's also a message for each person in here, that wherever God has placed us, in whatever setting he's placed us, we have the good news about Jesus, and we can share that with others. And it is a life-changing message. So we have to worship God and make sure there's room in our life to worship him, and we also need to share the good news about Jesus as we go to school and as we go to work and as we're in our community. We share the good news about Jesus. Now, this passage in Matthew 28 also says that we need to belong to the body of Christ, and it does that in an interesting way. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, and then it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, we've had the opportunity to see some people baptized here at our church, right in the baptistry right here. And you'll notice that I say that, I'll baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in new life with him. That's a way that a person says, I'm a believer, I'm a disciple, and now I identify with Christ, but also identify with the church. See, we require baptism by immersion as a requirement for membership to be a part of our church. And we want to help people understand to be obedient to baptism. And what baptism is a picture of is the death, burial, when you're dunked under the water and you're raised to life, just like Jesus was raised to life. So you're identifying with Christ, but you're also identifying with a local body of believers, and you're becoming part of the family of God. Now, a problem sometimes with students as they move away from home and they move away from their home church, they're reluctant to go to a new church because they don't know it. They don't know which church is good, and they study on Sunday morning, or they do something different. And so the church goes into the background, and they get out of the habit of going. And so if you're a grad today, don't do that. Don't make the church a priority of belonging to a body of believers that believes in Jesus, and let them encourage you. Listen, it brings joy to the heart of any church when a college student comes and says, I want to be a member. I want to be a part of what God's doing here. I want to be a part of the worship service. I mean, you need that as a young adult entering those adult years. You need the support of a local body of believers. And I'm so thankful for the work that Carter and Christy do with our young people, of them having a place to come and belong to our youth group and have a place to thrive in their relationship with Christ. Listen, that doesn't end when you get out of the youth ministry. I mean, that continues as a young adult. And the same message is true for us as adults, that we have to belong to the body of Christ. And that's why we call people that we haven't seen in a while. And that's why we visit people that visit us for the first time. We want them to be a part of what God is doing in the life of our church, because we want them to have a family to belong to. My daughter Amanda from Texas is here with her boyfriend Michael, and I love to hear what's going on in the life of the church that they attend together, and what the different pastors are saying, and what different messages are going on, because I know that even though they're not active in the life of this church, they're active in the life of a church where they are going to school. And it's important for that. We have to belong to the body of Christ. Listen to this passage of Scripture from Ephesians. Consequently, it says, you are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household. Listen, we are the body of Christ. We're members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone, Ephesians chapter 2. And so we need to belong to the body of Christ. Don't allow yourself, whether you're a new grad or you're an adult or a grandparent, don't allow yourself to get out of the habit of belonging to the body of Christ. Because we need you and you need us. And when we do life together as a local New Testament church, things go well and we're fulfilling what Jesus told us to do, that we were to belong and we were to share and belong. And the next thing, number four, is that we need to grow in our faith. And he says this back in the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And listen to this, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And so part of the disciples' responsibility was to teach the next generation of believers what Jesus told them to do. And it's very simple that we have the responsibility to live our faith out in such a way that we pass it on to the next generation. And aren't you glad that generation after generation of faithful people lived out their life and taught people, so that one day someone would teach the person that led you to Christ, so that you could do the same thing, so that you could be about teaching others? We have great Sunday school teachers. We have discipleship opportunities, and that's how we help people grow in their faith. Listen to this verse. When Paul was leading Timothy and how he needed to lead the church, he said, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will be also qualified to teach others. And so it's the nature of things that the church would be about teaching people how they can grow in their faith. That's part of what Jesus commanded us to do. But there's the teaching side of it, but there's also the learning side of it, that we are growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ. You want to hear something kind of simple, but kind of profound at the same way? You have not arrived spiritually at where God wants you to be. Whether you've been a believer for 70 years or for 70 minutes, you are not where you eventually will be one day. And you still need to grow in your faith. That's why it's so important for each of us to have the discipline of opening God's Word and the discipline of praying and studying and getting together with groups of people like we do in our Sunday school classes and opening the Word of God and doing life together around the Word of God. Listen, the Bible is our textbook, and it's a book like no other. And so it has a central place in our life. Like we mentioned last week, that we can trust the Word of God. And we can grow in our faith. And as we're growing in our faith, we pass it on to the next generation. I remember when Carol and I started having children, and I started thinking about what it would be like to talk to them, because they were just babies and they could. I remember holding my daughter Amanda in my arms and just thinking, it's going to be awesome when I can talk to her, right? And then I felt the same way about each one of my children, and there was never a moment that I wondered if they would receive Christ or not, because I knew that as I grew in my faith and as I passed my faith to them, that there would be a time in their life where they would trust Christ. That's the nature of the gospel, is it starts with us and then it's passed on to future generations. And they pass it on to that generation. And so we need to grow in our faith. And then finally, and this goes back to the great commandment, we need to serve others. We need to serve others. And this is the second commandment that Jesus mentioned, that the second is like it, he says, love your neighbor as yourself and minister to others. And listen to this passage of Scripture in Philippians. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete, Paul says, by being like-minded. That's the unity of it. Having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest only, but each of you to the interest of others. See, God has called us to focus our attention on other people and not just be about ourselves. And grads have an interesting place because they're going from a high school environment where it seems to be all self-centered into adulthood where you can focus your attention on someone else, that you can minister to someone else, that you can care for someone else. And Paul is saying in this passage from Philippians 2 that if Jesus is making a difference in your life, then look to the needs of someone else. And so we boil it down to these five things that as our grads launch from this point into the rest of their lives, and as we do the same thing as adults and as a church, we need to be about these five things. We need to worship our great God. And we need to make sure that there's room in our life and there's a focus of our lives and our church on worshiping God. We need to share the good news about Jesus Christ. That we need to be sensitive to those opportunities that we have individually to share the gospel. But we also need to be sure that we as a church are deliberate and have opportunities for people to share their faith. We need to belong to one another. We need to belong to the body of Christ. It's important for our grads to understand that, as it's important for us to understand that our church is here for a reason. It's a place for us to belong together as we worship and as we share and as we also grow in our faith. That we need to make sure that we're growing in our faith and that we're passing the faith to the next generation and the next generation as we are living and growing ourselves. And we need to look to the needs of others through service. We need to look for ways that we can encourage others and understand that it's not all about me, myself, and I, but God's placed me here and shaped me for ministry so that I can make a difference in the life of someone else. So those five words, worship, share, belong, grow, and serve, are some great things that we can say to our grads. Make sure these are in your life. Make sure that this is a part of your life, but we need to make that same proclamation to every adult in the room, that makes sure that we are doing these five things and doing them well as we're the body of Christ united together. And so we're going to have a moment of invitation where we respond to what God has said to us this morning. We've honored our grads this morning. We've looked into God's word this morning, and we've said that a great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission will lead to a great life. And it'll also lead to a great church that we are all a part of. And so let's stand together. We're going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to have a moment of invitation that we respond to God and what he has said to us today. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love for us. And Father, we thank you that you have not left us without marching orders. You haven't left us without a mission. And Father, would each one of us be about these five things, and would our grads have an idea of these five purposes and missions of their life? And Father, we thank you for them, and we pray for them in these months and years to come that they would honor you. And Father, I pray in the moments that we spend together now that you would work in our life and that you would speak to our hearts. Father, thank you for these that have assembled today to worship your great name, and we pray that you would work in our lives during these moments. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.